Hello, and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know but know nothing about. I'm Emily.
I'm Jamie.
Each week, we will break down a topic from Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We will take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer: if you are already a history buff, this podcast isn't for you. If you're a sweet dum-dum just like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic is... We Didn't Start the Fire.
What?
Per the request of some of our listeners, including our good friend Drew. What up, Drew?
Hey.
We're going to talk about this song itself.
Cool.
Here we go.
I'm ready to learn.
Yeah, I actually did learn some things.
Cool.
Despite being a person who has a podcast about this song, there were things I did not know about this song. Just out of curiosity, what is the reaction you get when you tell people you have a podcast about this song?
It's usually like, oh.
Oh. I get one of two reactions. One is just like confusion and people are like, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they like don't have a follow-up question. People are just like, got it. And then they walk away. But the thing I get the most often... people say, I hate that song. And I'm like, that's fine.
Fair.
You don't have to like it to listen to our podcast.
Right.
You actually don't.
You don't.
Believe it or not, Jamie and I don't have a podcast where we sing the song We Didn't Start the Fire for 30 minutes.
Over and over and over again.
Shockingly, that's not what this show is. But I do get that reaction quite a bit.
Yeah, I have heard that. But then I'm always like, but then we talk about, like, cool women and
learning things.
Yeah, or like I read their faces of
right.
Like what else can I throw at them to make this be exciting?
To make this person not walk away from me.
I mean, hundreds of people have listened to us, so
I mean, we're doing something
right.
Yes, listeners, you're one of so many fans out there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about this song. It's the list of items in the song starts in 1949, which is the year of Billy Joel's birth. He picked it. He didn't pick his birth year, sorry. Like, no. He didn't pick his birth year, but that's why the things that, like, Harry Truman, Doris Day, those things he starts listing were things that were popular or prevalent in that year.
Right.
And then it goes through 1989 when the song was released on his album Stormfront.
Yes.
The song is co-produced by English musician, singer-songwriter, and recording producer from the band Foreigner. His name is... Hang tight. He's a British dude.
British guy.
He's a British guy.
British bloke.
Foreigner.
Unfortunately, I don't know the
members of the band
Foreigner. But I do know the band Foreigner.
Yeah. I can't find his name.
Well,
he's a dude.
A guy
from Foreigner.
Cool.
And if you're a Foreigner fan, don't at me. Or do. So, I could tell the story about how this song got started, but I actually found this really great interview with Billy Joel about this song. So I kind of want to listen to that interview.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that cool with you?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
No, you're right. As it ended up, the Soviet Union, I think, became a republic at that point. And when that record came out, I was asked if I would do, okay, the next couple of years. I said, no, I wrote one song already, and I didn't think it was really that good to begin with, melodically. All right, look at the melody of it. Some guy actually thought I had to steal that from him. the song actually came from, I was in a recording studio, and I turned 40 years old. It was right around my birthday. I was in the studio. I was trying to think of ideas for songs, and I met a guy who had just turned 21. It was a friend of Sean Lennon was there, and I was a great admirer of his dad. And he was there with a friend who had just turned 21 and was saying, "Oh, it's a terrible time to be 21." And I said, "Yeah, I remember when I turned 21, I thought it was an awful time, and we had Vietnam, and, you know, drug problems, and civil rights problems, and everything seemed to be awful." And he said, yeah, he said, but it was different for you, because you were a kid in the 50s, and everybody knows that nothing happened in the 50s. So I thought, wait a minute, didn't you ever hear of, like, the Korean War? You know, Suez Canal crisis, you know. And I started to write these things out, almost like an exercise, and I started getting this idea for a song. And it ended, and I didn't know how to end it, because there were hypodermics had washed up on the shore in New York. Hypodermics on the shore. And then this Tiananmen Square thing happened, and then China cracked down. China's under martial law. And then I thought, what's the stupidest thing going on right at the moment? Rock and roller, cola wars. You know, so they had just signed some other, you know, silly rock star to say that, you know, drink our soda and rot your teeth. And I said, you know, thank you very much, rock and roller cola wars. And I just, like, that was it. I mean, that it had a symmetry to it. It was 40 years, from 49 to 89. It just... was just my luck that, you know, the Soviet Union decided to close down shop at a particular time. Yes.
So I just feel like it was kind of fun to hear him talk about it, and I like listening to his voice, actually.
I do too. It's just kind of relaxing, yeah. And
I like his accent.
Yeah,
it's funny, and I thought it was a good story. So basically, that's where the idea came from, is this young kid was like, oh, well, nothing happened when you were born. And, of course, like, so much was happening.
A lot happened, yeah.
There are 117 different things mentioned in the song. I think we've counted it before.
Yeah.
I want to say I counted 120, but I'm not so good at counting, so... It's about 117 things mentioned in the song.
Okay.
He was also Billy Joel, which is hard to say, because I want to say Jilly Bowl.
Jilly Bowl.
Billy Joel was quoted once saying that he wanted to be a history teacher at one point, because he was so interested in history.
Yeah.
So it's probably also influenced how and why he wrote this song. His mom once said that he was, like, a huge bookworm as a kid, and by the age of 7, like, he always had a book and was always reading. Which I thought was just kind of cute to picture, like...
Little Billy just reading a book.
Yeah.
Aww.
Unlike a lot of Joel's songs, the lyrics were written before the melody is, which, if you listen to that clip, you know, he talks about how the melody is definitely not the driving force of the song.
Right.
And it kind of makes it an unusual melody. And it was a huge success at first, commercially, and it was one of his Billboard number one hits. It was actually his third number one hit song. And it was nominated for a Grammy for Record of the Year. I don't think it won, but it was nominated.
Shocker.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. In the video clip, he did say there, it's one of the worst melodies I've ever written.
Right.
It's like a dentist drill. Because it is. It's kind of just like this relentless sound.
Just, yeah, repetitive.
Right.
And it's not harmonic.
No. You wouldn't listen to the instrumental of the song.
No.
No.
No, thank you.
He was asked if he could or would do a follow-up about the next, like, decade or so after... the original song, and his answer was, no, I wrote one song already, and I don't think it was that good of a song to begin with.
fair.
Which is fair. I'm actually glad he hasn't done another song. I feel like it'd be weird.
Yeah, I think that you just take what it is.
Right.
And yeah, I agree. 40 years is a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But then also it's not that much time when you consider all of the things that happened during that time.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
Right. So something that he has answered and was kind of in the middle of answering in that clip we listened to, a lot of people have asked him, like, did you intentionally frame the song around the Cold War? Because, you know, from 49 to 89 was kind of the years in which the world was experiencing the Cold War. And he's basically like, no, it was kind of just a coincidence. Like, I happened to be born in 1949 and I happened to write this song in 1989. So,
and a lot of big events.
A lot of things happened in between. And a lot of things happened with Russia, as we've, it's come up in almost every other episode.
Russia is all over the place.
Russia keeps coming up. It's interesting. But yeah, he basically says, no, it's just kind of a coincidence between the years that I wrote this song.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, there is a music video for this song.
It's
My notes here are, I hate it. I hate the music video.
Did the music video come out when the song came out?
I think it did come out at this. I don't know if it came out like as the album was released, but I think it came out around that same time.
Okay,
so basically
it makes no sense and you should be high.
Here's what's funny is I literally read an article about the music video, and I'm someone who has watched the music video multiple times, and I was like, okay, I still don't really get it. The concept doesn't sound difficult. Basically, it shows this family in, like, their house, kind of in the kitchen, in, like, the 1940s, presumably when this song starts. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of goes through the decades, and you get to see how things change. But there's, like, a lot of weird inconsistencies.
It's very erratic.
Like, and the actors change, yeah. And it's, like, it's not definable, like, oh, this is very clearly the 60s. Like, there's weird, there's just weirdness.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was directed by someone named Chris Blum. I don't know if he did drugs, but I don't know. I feel like every time I've seen it, I'm like, I hate this so much.
I, like, need to also shield my eyes because I feel like it's very flashy. Like, it just, the images go
It's
by
almost like really seizure-inducing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's, like, interspersed with, like, Billy Joel in this house, but he's not a family member. And then sometimes he's got, like, a background of, like, this fire behind him. Yeah, I would definitely recommend being drunk or high if you watch it.
Yeah. Or don't
Or just
watch
don't watch it. It definitely won't make you want to listen to this podcast anymore. We will not help our cause. Blender Magazine named it one of the 50 worst songs ever. It was number 41 on the list of 50 worst songs.
I don't hate it that much.
No, I definitely don't hate them. Like, some of the other songs, like, I think number 50 was My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Aww.
Do you want to guess what number one was? It's okay.
I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think of my, like, one of my least favorite songs. What was it?
Number one was We Built This City by Starship. Yeah. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sing it. But...
but it's in my head right now.
Number two is Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Number three is Everybody Have Fun Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
By Wang Chung. Number four is Rollin' by Limp Bizkit. And number five is Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Aw.
There's some other good gems. If
What about, like, is the Safety Dance on there? I can't with that song.
Mm.
But maybe that's just me.
I don't think it is. I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred is number 49.
Okay.
Barbie Girl is number 33. That's my and my husband's karaoke song, except for I sing the guy part and he sings the girl part.
Love it.
It's always a good go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something's on here. Is that a terrible song?
Yeah, I can't with it. I will always change it.
Your Body is a Wonderland by John Mayer? Wait, that's a good song. Is it not?
I don't know.
Oh, I like it. No. No. Oh, you know what's actually a terrible song is Two Princes by the Spin Doctors.
Oh, but I don't mind that one as much.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I know the words. I feel like that's how I feel about We Didn't Start the Fire, too. It's like, I know all the words.
Yeah.
So I feel accomplished.
Okay. I don't know all the words. No. I know parts of it. I'm not going to learn them all.
No, that's fair. But I do. It's a good...
It's good.
I like it.
Okay. The song has been parodied a number of times by a number of different people. Mm-hmm. We're not going to dive into all of the parodies because, like, they're just... They're fine. There's only one parody I want to talk about.
Tell me.
It is on the television show Parks and Recreation.
Okay, yes.
Season 7, Episode 4, titled yes. Leslie and Ron. If you don't watch Parks and Recreation, just stop what you're doing. Quit your job and go watch it. Yeah. It's all on Netflix.
Have to.
It's one of the best television shows of all time. But this is not a spoiler, but in one of the last episodes, the two characters, Ron and Leslie, are kind of in a fight, and Leslie is trying to get Ron to tell him what's wrong, and he's just, like, kind of stonewalling her and not saying anything. So, let's take a listen to that good, good parody.
Oh, so good.
Jackpot. You know what this is, Ron? This is a mix I made for the Summer Parks Barbecue 2007. I asked everyone in the Parks Department to choose one song. You chose Buddy by Willie Nelson. A fact I remember because my mind is a steel trap of friendship nuggets. But I am not going to play your choice. I'm gonna play Jerry's choice. Ooh, that's right. And I'm gonna sing along. And I'm gonna maintain eye contact the whole time. And guess what? I don't know the words. Harry Truman was the guy, America, Red China, all the countries, other people, everyone is fun. Joe Montana, E. McKellen, I have to buy a new toaster, this is awesome, you're so stupid, jumping up and down. Woo! Oh, I got it on repeat. Come on, Ron. You want to hear it again or you want to talk? No? Okay, next verse. Freddy Krueger bought some pants, Oprah has a turtle farm, Peter Piper, pee-pee, poopy, daddy ate a squirrel.
Stop it!
Oh my god, it's just so good.
So good. Amy Poehler.
Oh my gosh. If you have Netflix or if you have the ability to watch that episode, her physical comedy in that scene is so choice.
Yeah, the audio does not do it justice.
No, you have to go watch it. It's really good. That's the only parody I want to talk about. It's just
it's the only one that matters.
It's the only one that really matters.
Daddy ate a squirrel.
Oprah has a turtle farm. Ooh, so this episode is really just about the song, and that's all of the information I could find about this song. We will do future episodes about, like, Billy Joel himself. We'll do, like, a behind the music about Billy Joel, but his life is just too much for, we couldn't do this and that in the same episode.
No, Billy Joel I've been doing some research, and it's a couple, it might even end up being a two-parter, because
controversies, wives,
like, wives should be its own episode.
Wives could be its own, children.
Oh my god. He is a gem.
He's an interesting dude.
We love you, Billy.
I love you, Billy. Did the song, this is gonna get real meta. Did the song, We Didn't Start the Fire, start the fire?
You know, it's making us more aware of the fire that we didn't even know existed.
Wow.
So in a way, we're becoming aware of fire that could have maybe been started.
This almost feels like philosophy, what you just said.
It's so philosophy.
Jamie, are you really smart?
I did it.
Are you smart?
We're going to go with yes.
Oh, all right.
So educated.
I love it. Bye.
Bye.
Wir sind hier zum Feiern.
Wir sind hier zum Feiern.